mine, but now I see. This meeting's been a blessing to me this morning. I do thank God for his many wonderful blessings he's shared and has given to me in my life. I hope you feel the same way. Pray that you do. We recognize every day God's given us as a gift. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, that we wouldn't miss those days. Life is brief, and every day is a blessing, and we should live each day walking and trusting and depending upon the Lord. And in our darkness, he is the light, and he is our help, our strength, a very present help in the time of the day of trouble. And we thank God for that. It's been a great blessing. Don't know how much I'm going to be able to say this morning, but I feel okay about what has happened, so much so that if I don't say very much, I feel all right about the meeting. The hymns have certainly declared the truth. The prayer has been sweet. I felt it in my heart. And the fellowship has just been great. And that's what makes a meeting, when you feel the presence of the Lord and you share love to the Lord and from the Lord with one another as God's children. That doesn't mean as a minister I don't want to preach, because if in the sense of, and I say want to in the sense of my desire, my heart's desire is to share the gospel today with you as God's children. The gospel is a light to God's little children who've been made alive, to allow you to know the great things, how great things the Lord has done for you. The gospel is not that which gives you life, but it brings the life God has given you to light. It brings life and immortality to light. It allows you to truly live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. It helps you walk on the right path. It helps your speech, your conversation, your lifestyle, the way you think about things, the way you live in this world, so that you're not walking in the darkness and in the knowledge of this world, but you're walking in the light, which is the truth of God's word. This book has been left on record for us, not only written by inspiration of God, but preserved by God, the hand of God, and even for today given to us, that we might learn and feed, and we're to preach the word, we're to be instant in season and out of season. We're to declare this word unto you, the written word that declares Jesus Christ, the living word. And we do that through the preached word. And it finds a place in your hearts because this same word has been written in your mind and in your thoughts and upon your hearts. And the Spirit in you will testify that it's the truth as you hear it. Of course, we're always to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. So we take our Bibles and we want to be good, faithful brethren to study, in order to be sure that the things that we're hearing are so. Once you have that in your heart taught, and you go and study the Word of God, and it's confirmed by the teachings of God's Word, you can lay a foundation, and that foundation is laid really in your life, that you can build your life on. And you can be assured that as that part of your life that's built on the solid rock of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when the storms and the problems and the troubles that surely come in life come your way, your house will stand because it's built on a solid foundation. And if the foundation is faulty, it doesn't matter how big the house is, it's on a faulty foundation. And the bigger the house is, it's on that foundation, just the bigger the fall will be when the fall comes. And it's sure to come as this old world gets shaken. And the world around us is being shaken. I hope and pray that we are building on that solid rock, the solid foundation of the truth of God's Word. Let's not leave it. Let's hold to it. Let's earnestly contend for it. Let's be faithful to it. Let's not only be hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word. Let us not be those who just hear the Bible, but take the Bible and try to live the teachings of the Bible in our life, so that it affects everything we do, and it will. And that it becomes the gospel in our life, where you're not just saying it, but you're living it, you're walking it. And it affects every day, every hour, and every moment. Y'all already know all that. Most of you, I believe, know that. I'm just reminding you again and stirring up your pure hearts by way of remembrance that we remember to put on, gird ourselves about with the truth. Have your loins girt about with the truth. It's part of the armor of God that we're to wear. We're to have the truth on. We're to wear it. It covers the front because we're going forward. We're not going backwards. Sometimes we spend too much time going back. And today we're to go forward looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do, I'd like to read to you from the writings of 1 John. And this is the book of 1 John and chapter 5. This is the writings of the Apostle John. Of course, all of the Bible, as we've already stated, is given by inspiration of God. So this is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given unto the Apostle John that he might give unto us. And I believe preserved for us right down for today. If this is truly of the Lord that I'm following his leadership, it's reserved for you personally today for this moment in time in the year 2014. And that's an amazing thing to think about. You see, there's nothing that happened in your life today that surprised God. There was nothing that he did not already know about. And he knows your needs today. And he knows what's coming this week, if the week indeed comes. And he knows every one of us that are here, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's not learning about that. He's always known it. There's nothing that he does not know. He has all knowledge. And it's wonderful to believe and understand that God is the one who's given us his word and given us this message for today, that we might learn today what we stand in need of. And it certainly would be silly for me to trust in myself to figure that out when I have an almighty God who already knows. So y'all pray that I'll just trust and follow his leadership and pray that he will bless you to be able to hear and feed what he has for you, and that we will be faithful to listen to his word and then try to apply it in our lives to his honor and to his glory. He says this in 1 John chapter 5. We'll begin reading right at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that he is. And I'm not just talking about just saying, well, I'm a Christian and I believe that Jesus was here in this world and I was raised in a Christian home and raised in a Christian family, and because I have that relationship, then I do believe that Jesus is the Christ. This is talking about a heartfelt understanding and belief that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus was with God in the beginning. And when this world was made, it was by him that this world was made. All things were made by him. And that this one who is Jesus, the living word, the eternal word, one in nature and in essence with God the Father and God the Son, and yet a distinct person as the Son of God, as part of that Trinity that is three manifest in three persons, but one God, that this Jesus actually came into this world, that his birth was of the Lord, that his birth was not like everybody else's birth, but he was begotten of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and on that day a virgin conceived, and she brought forth a son, and they called his name Jesus, which means Savior, because he came to do what the Father sent him to do, even in covenant, before the very foundation of the world. And when Jesus came and did it, he didn't try to do it, he didn't want to do it, he didn't hope to do it. He came to save those that the Father had given him, identified as his people, identified as the elect, identified as those he predestinated even before the foundation of the world, a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, that people, his sheep, those that were given to him by his Father, he came for them, and Jesus, his name was called Jesus, for he shall save. Didn't want to, try to, hope to, he did. He shall save. And they were his people. And by his choice, not by their choice. By his work, not by their work. By his and what he accomplished, not by what we accomplished. And we are his people. He shall save his people from their sins. And that means his people needed saving. And they had sins. And part of understanding Christ and who he is to understand yourself and who you are. Because if you don't understand the condition you and I don't understand the condition I'm in, and you don't understand the condition you're in, then you don't have very much appreciation or understanding of this person called Jesus, because he came as a Savior, and unless you need a Savior, that doesn't mean very much to you. You see, we all need a Savior, but it's a blessed character who knows it. Do you know it today? Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know you're lost and vile and undone without the Lord? Do you know that it would be impossible for you to get to heaven without him? Do you know that you couldn't get through one day in this world without him? Do you know that the reason that you're alive naturally is because of him? And if you understand that spiritually, the reason you're alive spiritually is because of him. Do you know that if it had not been for him, you would have never prayed? If it had not been for him, you would have never loved the Lord. If it had not been for him, all the good stuff in your life and all the other stuff you think is good isn't really good if it's not of the Lord. All the good stuff in your life has come to you because of him and what he has done for you. Now, to understand that Jesus is the Christ, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that means that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that was anointed of God. He was God's anointed. Psalm 2 and 2 talks about the Lord's anointed. That's the Old Testament is filled with passages that talk about the Messiah and the Lord's anointed that was going to come. Moses said there was going to be a prophet that came after me that was greater than him. And they considered Moses to be the greatest of the prophets. But Moses said there was going to be one greater than I. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he was so much greater than Moses that if it wasn't be, as great as the house is, the builder of the house is greater than the house. And so you want to see the greatness of Moses? You look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you today, without Christ, Moses would have been nothing. And without Christ, there would have been no Old Testament characters or saints. Without Christ and his work of grace in our lives, there'd be no good people in our lives. That every good thing that we have in this world is because of this one called Jesus, who was born as the living Word of God. He took upon himself a body of flesh and came into this world that you and I have might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's just like a good little sister told me this morning as we came in and said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." And the other little sister said, "I'm doing good." And she said, "Neither one of y'all really telling the truth." And in reality, she was dead on in the sense of this. In me and in you and in all of us, there is how many good? Did it say one? Did it say two? No, we can say we're good, but I'm telling you, without the Lord, there's none good, no, not one. And without the Lord, it isn't just that I'm almost good, but there's a little less good in me than more evil in me than good. And that's the reason listen, it wouldn't be any good in us at all from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. That's why the name of Jesus means so much to me. And I hope and pray it means so much to you. Because see, it's Jesus who takes those who are altogether in themselves unclean and washes them up. And in the Lord, by his grace, where we would not be good, we are made good. And where we could not stand, we're made able to stand. And where we're altogether darkness, we're made light in the Lord. And by faith, mighty men of the Scripture, the Hebrews 11 tells us, in Hebrews 11, verse after verse tells us of mighty men and women in the Scripture who by faith did great and wonderful things in this world. And I'm telling you, I've seen in my life men and women live lives of faith before me where they were able to overcome in this world. They felt trouble and heartache and problems. And rather than being overwhelmed by those things, they were made more than conquerors. But they didn't do it by themselves. The only way they were able to do it is the same way those old dear ones did it, and that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted in him. And I'm telling you today, if you're trusting in him, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life, you're all right. Because not because of just trust. Somebody said, "Well, if you just have faith, you'll be okay." It depends on where your faith is, doesn't it? A lot of people say, "Oh, I can have faith," and they have faith in some nebulous some idea, some thought somewhere that has no power. Some people bow down to idols and have faith in an idol. And you know what an idol can do for you? Absolutely nothing. It might have eyes, but it can't see. It might have ears, but it can't hear. It might have hands, but it can't move. If you don't dust it up, it'll get dirty. You've got to clean it up and keep it all polished and looking like something, or it will decay like everything else in this world. And I'm telling you, if we're trusting in anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're simply trusting in idols that you'll have to work yourself to death, so to speak, to keep up. And they will be of absolute no benefit. But I'm telling you, when you bow your knees and look to the Lord, there's a great benefit in doing that. He's my help. He's my strength. He's not only a one that I look to. He's the only one I truly need to look to. And He'll fill your life with others, won't He? You think about it. He'll fill your life with others. You know, he said to those disciples, they said, "Oh Lord, we've left all to follow Thee. And what do we get for doing that?" And the Lord's answer was, "You already have it." He said, "There's no man who's left of a house and wife and mother or anything that has not in this world received many times over houses and lands and family." And I'm telling you, He's put the clothes on your back and the food on your plate. He's kept us in this old world. And I believe He's big enough to take care of me in this age that we're living in, and all of God's children, don't you? So who would I trust in today? Rather than help us pray, and let us all together pray, Lord, help us look only to Thee. If there be any other idol in our life, if there be anything else we're trusting in, let's tear it from its throne and trust only in Him. Because He's the one worthy of our trust. And He says this, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now some people read that, if you'll believe, you'll get born again. That's not what it says, is it? It says if you believe, you are born. You know what that means? That means if you can believe today, it's because you have been born of the Spirit of God. And that birth didn't come because you believed. The belief came because you were born. You were not able to believe until you're first born. You have to be born of the Spirit, awakened by Almighty God, and that comes when you're in a state of not of life, but in a state of death. You know when life comes to those who are dead? It comes when they're dead. And they're dead in trespasses and in sins. And when the Lord deals with you, He brings you out of that state of death in trespasses and in sins, and He makes you alive. And you know how much you want Him when that happens? In your old nature, in your old heart, you're so far removed from God that nothing could get you back. No preaching, no teaching, no work of anyone else could reach you. It's only God who could reach you. And you could be raised in a home that carried you to an old Baptist church every morning, every evening, all day long, or carried you anywhere else, and it would have had no benefit to you whatsoever until the Son of God spoke. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, John 5:25. And it says, "And they that hear me," He didn't try to speak, He didn't hope to speak. Today I'm doing my very best to speak and try to reach you. I am doing all that I am able to do in the sense of a pastor of trying to teach you from the Word of God these things. But see, I can talk to the outside, but I can't get on the inside unless God opens the heart and the mind and the ear. Then these words will be like water on a duck's back. But I'm telling you, when the Lord opens your heart, you can't help but hear it. Your old nature sometimes don't want to hear it. And the reason it doesn't want to hear it, because it says, "I'm going to have to change some things about my life." And you know how men and women want to do as far as change, don't you? I don't like change, and you don't either. We don't want to change. I'd like to just keep on talking like I've been talking. But I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of you, your speech better change. You might keep talking that way, but you won't be happy in it. And it'll lead at you. It'll cause you to stay up at night and not sleep well. It'll cause you to become weary. It'll make your bones ache. It'll make your food not taste so good. You can live like the world. Even as a little child of grace, you can go in the world and live like the world. But I'll tell you, it'll get worse and worse. It'll become less joyous and less joyous as you grow in Him. And I'm telling you, the righteous will hold on His way. He said in that, as we sing that that wonderful hymn this morning, that when that work of grace happens in somebody's heart, they are made new creatures. Not partially new, they are made new. Old things do what? Pass away. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, that is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. That means I have a new walk, a new talk, a new life, and though I have an old flesh, it still wants to hang right there. We fight that every day, don't we? This morning when my clock went off at 5, whatever time I said it, 5 something, because I wanted to get in this book early. The old body didn't want to get up. Y'all ever been like that? I had a desire to look, but the old body just wanted to sleep. And the old body went out for a little while this morning, but I did get up finally. I'm telling you, every day is a battle. You go and you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I find myself doing that. I'm not going to say that anymore. When this goes on, I know what the Word of God tells me to do, so I want to put that on. I want to wear that. When I have been taught from God's Word what I ought to do and what I ought not to do, I want to live more trusting in Him. I want to go every day realizing He's with me. I want to feel His presence. I want to know Him more. I know Him and I love Him, but I want to know Him in the sense of I feel His communion. I feel His presence. I feel that He's with me. And I see Him there as much as if I could talk to Him and see Him in my, even as I'm teaching kids in my classroom or as I'm riding down the road in my vehicle, that I know His presence. I'm telling you, He's with you. If you're His child, you belong to Him. He's with everyone, but His child He's with in a very special way. He's there to help you. I'm not trying to scare you to death with this. I'm telling you, He loves you. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother with you every day. And it grieves His heart sometimes how we speak and how we talk and how we behave because we're not acting like His children. And we shouldn't do those things because we're afraid of Him. We ought to do them because we love Him. And I'll tell you what will motivate you to love Him. When you realize He's the Christ and what He did for a sinner like me. He took me who deserves hell and gave me heaven. Well, that's a great blessing, isn't it, to think about? When you think about death, well, death doesn't sound so bad. I've often said it, and I say it a lot of times in my efforts to preach. Old Baptists sing more about death than anybody I've ever heard of. I mean, you come to an Old Baptist church and about every other song is about somebody dying and going out of here. And it's not, they're not sad. Some of them sound sad. Some of them sounds like it's sad, but it's not a sadness. It's a joyous thing. Death is not something to be afraid of. Oh, how wonderful it is to live your life not afraid to die because you realize that it's precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of His saints. You know why it's precious? Because a man called Jesus came here in this world and took my sin debt in His own body and nailed it to the tree of the cross to be remembered against me and never again. And so when I die, I have a promise and you have a promise as a little child of God, not because of what we did to get into it, but for what He did for us. Of when we die, we go right into heaven in immortal glory. And I just believe with all my heart, as beautiful as this old sin-cursed earth is, how beautiful must heaven be. We haven't begun to see what the Lord has for us. And just to see Jesus and His glorious face, and see Him in the fullness, and to be able to really know and be thankful for what He's done for us, and all that He has done for us, what a blessing that will be. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means the believing is an evidence of the birth. It isn't what causes the birth. It isn't what brings about the birth. It is that which is there because of the birth. And if we're able to believe today, it's evidence that you belong to Him. And you belong to Him because He made choice of you before the foundation of the world. And when you fail to believe as you should and ought, it will not change or diminish the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it ought to also encourage us not to be in unbelief, but to be believers and trust in the Lord. Listen, He's given us faith whereby we're enabled to believe. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Do you find yourself sometimes walking by sight rather than by faith? I do. That's why we come back to church, to be reminded again. We get to the Word to be reminded again that we are to put on, as we go forth into battle, we put on the whole armor of God. We've talked about being girt with our loins being girt about with truth. But one thing we're to carry is what? That shield of faith. And you know what that faith will do? It'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And they're coming at all times. You ever feel like you're getting hit with fiery darts? You know why you feel that? Because you are. Somebody said, it seems like the devil is really after me or really working on you. If you try to live godly in Christ Jesus, you expect it. Because the more you try to do what's right, the devil's not bothering you when you're doing what's wrong, because you're right there where he would have you to be. But the more that you try to live in the way God would have you to live, the more the old adversary will come after you and attack you. But don't be afraid of him that is in the world, because the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have a shield of faith that he's given you that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians at the end of the chapter tells you about that entire, then the end of the book tells you about that entire, I think it's the sixth chapter. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. He says, and everyone that loveth him, oh my, do you love him today? Do you love him? Well, you know, if you love him, it's because he first loved you. And if you love him, to really love him, you have to realize what he's done for you. And I don't want to leave you in that state of death you were in trespasses and in sins. I don't want to leave you in that place where there's none good, no, not one. Because when Jesus finishes with you, you're washed in his blood, you've been made righteous, you've been given a breastplate of righteousness to wear, and you've been given a helmet of salvation to put on your head. You've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to carry into battle. And you have been made fit for this world in a way to honor Him and glorify Him as God's little children. And when, though we are in ourselves, there's none good, no, not one. By faith, we, as God's children, can do mighty things. Sometimes we lose sight on that. We talk about all the things we can't do and never talk about what we can do. I love to read over in Hebrews chapter 11 about those that were faith. And they were just men of like passions, just subject to the same things we were subject of. And listen to the example given. I could start at the very beginning of Hebrews, and I certainly encourage you to do that. Hebrews chapter 11. But he says this about them in verse 32. After he had gone through all those mighty ones that we think of, and even Rahab the harlot and others that are here, in verse 32 he says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms." You know, God's children through faith can subdue kingdoms. "They through faith wrought righteousness." You know how we do what's good, right? When you walk by faith. If you and I try to walk on our own, we're going to mess up. But when you're walking by faith, you'll do righteous. You'll walk and you'll say and do the right thing. If faith leads you and if faith guides you, and that's faith not in ourselves, not in just something. It's not just the thing of faith. It's the faith that God has put in your heart, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you walk by that faith, trusting in the Lord, His hand is upon you, and you can do things you would have never believed you'd be able to do. You can go in this world rather than scared to death. You can go forward in grace and in faith. Not arrogant. I'll tell you what faith also does. It'll humble you, won't it? When you can see a man high-minded and full of ego, I'm telling you, he's walking on his own self, not in the Lord. When a man's trusting in the Lord, that means his eyes is on the Lord. And you know what happened in the Scripture? Every time a man gets his eye on the Lord, he sees him high and lifted up. And what does he want to do? He wants to fall down on his face and worship him. How do you feel today? When you think about the Lord, is the Lord looking down upon us? Doesn't it make you feel, oh, I'm not worthy, as we sing, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And in ourselves, we are not. But hear me, he has washed you. He has made you fit for his service. And by his power and his might, you're able to subdue kingdoms. He wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Have you obtained any promises? Have you ever looked to the Lord for that which you needed and find him to be right there and supply? Have you ever had doors open you just thought couldn't open? Sometimes we sit around and talk about how is this, how are we going to get through this? I've seen churches do that, go like, how are we going to make it? And when they trust in the Lord, they made it just fine. Families get shaken, someone's sick, and loved ones sick, and we pray to the Lord, and we look to them, and we feel and get concerned about the worst. And then the Lord opens the door. Sometimes He opens the door by healing our loved ones. Sometimes He opens the door by giving them a better healing and taking them out of this world to be with Him in glory. And we can have peace even in that most difficult time of death. And you know when God's children have peace? And you know when anyone really has peace in this world? Is when you're trusting in the Lord. So you can say with the scripture, if I live, it'll be to the Lord. And if I die, it'll be to the Lord. So whether I live or die, blessed be the name of the Lord. How are you feeling today? I'm saying if you're walking that way, you're all right. You're feeling all right. I'm not saying you and yourself are all right. I'm saying in the Lord, you're able to do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You're able to go into this wicked, troubled world and say, I'm not going to be scared to death because I don't know what's around the corner, but I know God does. And if it means my life is gone, well, I get to be with the Lord. And if it means I live, well, the Lord's going to be with me. And whichever way, I'm in the hands of the Lord. So I ought to be happy. Are you happy? I hope you are. Are you worried? Don't be. Trust Him. Believe Him. Lean on Him. Young or old, listen, He is your only help. Everything else in this world will let you down. All the money of this world will not save you or wash you from your sins. It will not make you happy, though the world will say, if you can get this, you'll be happy. I'll tell you what you want. You get that, you'll want something else. Once you get that, you'll want something else. If you're not satisfied with where you're living, you think I can get over there, I'll be satisfied. The next step is to look somewhere else and say, if I can get there. And then after that, if I can get there. And the next thing you'll be wanting to be the one that everybody else wants to be. And what a mess you are then. I'm telling you, when you get to see Jesus and Him high and lifted up and realize He's with you, then all you can say, all is well with my soul. It is well, it is well. No matter what, it's well. It's all right because Jesus is my friend. And He is sticketh, and He's able to heal my family if it's broken. He's able to heal my body if it is will to do so. If I look to Him and lean on Him, I'll never be let down. He's not going to leave me. Young or old, He won't leave me. And everything else in this world that you trust in is sure to let you down. Sometimes because it just can't help but do that because it doesn't have the power to do what it wants to do. Even mom and dad are going to let you down one day. Somebody might say, well, not my mama, not my daddy. I'm telling you, they'll get old and they get feeble. And they can't do what they would have done at one time. I'm telling you. The Bible says, when my mother and father forsake me, then what happened? Then the Lord will take me up. Oh boy, isn't that good? And He's the one who's given you mom and daddy. That's a blessing. I sure haven't got as far along in this as I was thinking I was going to get. But I hope it's been of some benefit to you. He says, who through faith, I'm over in Hebrews still because this is good. He obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. You believe God stopped the mouths of the lions? Y'all believe that story? Y'all really believe that Old Testament story that Daniel was in a den of lions and the Lord stopped the mouths of the lions? Listen, I believe He made the lions. I don't think He'd have any trouble stopping their mouths. I don't believe there's a lion on the face of the earth He didn't put there. Not only that, the bugs that are underneath the feet of the lion. I believe all things were made by Him. And He doesn't have any trouble. I believe in a God who can stop the sun from moving across the sky and hold it still, just like He said He did. I believe in what this Bible says that He did. And I see by the powers of this earth, men think they understand things and know so very little. You know, they say this is this and this is that, and the next thing you know, they got to adjust everything because they were a little wrong on that. They weren't a little wrong, they've been a lot wrong. I'll tell you, you can count on this book for your science. You can count on this book for your history. You can count on this book when all other books will fail. This is the Word of God. And by faith, you already know that in your heart, if the Lord has opened your eyes to see it and to know it. And doesn't it sound good and fit good when you hear that? It's a solid ground to build your life on. He says, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured. Now get this. Not everybody came out like victorious. Sometimes you get the idea, well, if I'm doing the will of God, then it'll always turn out just the way you and I think it ought to. No. Listen. There were some that were tortured, and there were some that gave their very life, and they did not accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they said it'd be better for me to die and not turn from the Lord than to live a life and have it here in this world and be turned from Him. And you know, there's still some today who are being tried because of Jesus and taking the name of Jesus, even to the point that their life, we don't know when that may come to this nation or to this country. I pray it won't. But if it does, I pray we would be faithful. If it meant my life, that I would say, He is the one who gave me my life. And if it means life or death, I want to confess His name. Listen, He's done so very much for me. Has He not for you? He's the one who's given me every blessing in my life. He's the one who's given me life and all the joys and the promises of the future and heaven. And though I get weak sometimes in this world, He's never weak. And I can find strength when I look to Him. And I don't want to change or say anything. Listen, if there's some other name somebody brings to me, I don't have any time for it. There's only one name given among men under heaven, in the name of Jesus. And He, you know why that's so good? Because He's all you need. In Him, you want to see the Father? The Father no man can see because He is invisible. But in the Son, you're able to see the Father, for in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And He says, of whom the world was not worthy. You know why? Because they were those who had faith in the Lord. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves, and these all, having obtained a good report, you know how? Through faith, they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, the Lord never lets down one of His children who is trusting and leaning upon Him. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That means God's little children who love the Lord have a love for the Lord's people. And they have a love for the Son of God. They have a love. If you love the Father, you're going to love the Son. And if you love the Son, you're going to love God's children. There's a love that flows from breast to breast. There's a feeling that you have when you meet another one of God's little children. There's a kinship, an attachment, as if you've known them all your life. There's something special in that relationship. And I can't put that really into words. I'm trying the best I can. But He says, but this we know that we love, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. When we love the Lord, we want to live better. Loving God doesn't mean I love Him and then we live any way we want to in this world. It's talking about taking up our cross and following Him. It's talking about walking out in Him out in the ordinances given unto the church. It's talking about following Him in baptism. It's talking about being willing to commit our lives to following Him and to be walking with others of God's children who are trusting in Him. It's talking about forsaking all everything else and looking above everything to Him, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things of this world will be added unto you. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. You know, I have found that to be the case, and I know you have too, and it's the word of God. When you do what the Lord would have you to do, your life just gets so much easier and it gets simpler. Really, life is complicated when you're trying to figure it out on your own. But when you get to what the Lord has told us to do, His way is simple. It's not hard. And it's not hard on you. You want to know what's hard on you is when you try as a little child of God to live outside of His way. That's when life becomes a burden. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, that which God has put in you, in the Spirit of God, in your heart, that is able to overcome this old world. When you walk in the inner man and lay that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, you're able to walk victorious in this world. When you follow after the Spirit of God in your life, you're able to walk, you're able to be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. He says, and what is it? That's even our faith. And the faith is in not nothing, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you truly believe that in your heart, it's because you've been born of the Spirit of God and you're able to overcome this old world in trusting and leaning upon Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. See, when Jesus was baptized, the voice of heaven was heard. The Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That wasn't just any voice. That was the voice of the Father saying, this is my Son. Somebody said, how do you know Jesus is God? Because God himself, the Father, said, this is my Son. He put his stamp of approval on his own Son as his Son came to be baptized of John, just as the Lord had sent him to do and had sent John to do, to be that one who came and said that Jesus was coming. And when Jesus came, he came unto John to be baptized of him. And when that took place, the Spirit of God testified that this is my Son. He descended as the Spirit descended as a dove upon Jesus, and the voice of the Father was heard on the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't just my voice or somebody else's voice that was speaking that Jesus was the Son of God. It was the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. It was he that was to be worshipped. No one else was to be worshipped or praised. Peter, not knowing after he saw all that he saw, and I would probably be a lot like Peter, not knowing what to say. A whole lot of times, as we've said before, when you don't know what to say, it's time to be quiet. But Peter had to say something. Most of the time you and I want to say something, and so when you want to say something and you don't know what to say, you mess up. But Peter, not knowing what to say, said, it's good to be here. That sounds all right, doesn't it? It was good to be there. He had seen Moses and Elijah talking to the Lord, which shows me that Moses, though men didn't know where his body was, we know his soul and spirit was in heaven, wasn't it? Because here he was talking to the Lord on earth in that spirit and that soul that was fit for heaven. And then there's Elijah who had been carried up and had been carried away in the whirlwind and the chariot of fire. And there's Elijah. I believe he'd already been a picture of those who would be translated. And there he is bodily with the Lord. But now he's talking with the Lord here on earth. And the Lord's appearance glistering. I don't know what that meant, but it was white. I'm telling you, talking about a white light. It was a white, whiter than you can imagine. Glistering. And there they look, Peter looking upon that, Peter, James, and John. Peter says, oh, it's good to be here. And then he messed up. He said, let us make three tabernacles. Let's make one unto Moses. Let's make one, hear me, let's make one unto Elijah. Because they were great men. I'm telling you, they were men of faith. But without faith, they would have been nothing. Do you hear me? Moses and Elijah, let's make three tabernacles. One to Moses, one to Elijah. Peter didn't know what he was saying. And one unto Jesus. And God spoke. Listen, it wasn't Moses who God sent to save his people. Although Moses was a type of Christ. And he did come with a timely salvation. And he showed a picture of that, which Jesus would do. Moses said Christ was coming. And they were speaking there on that mount. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Elijah. He was a great prophet. Oh, you read about the works of Elijah and it's something. Elijah called fire down from heaven. I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for Jesus, there'd have been no Elijah. And there'd been no fire. Jesus is the power source. They operated in it, but they operated in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there would have been no source. And that's why the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. I'm telling you today, I'm not here to preach Moses. I talk about Moses, what he did by the power of the Lord and Elijah. But I'm not here to preach anybody else. We're here to preach who? Jesus Christ. And it says, it is the Spirit that beareth witness. And this just gets bigger and bigger. He came and there at the water baptism, he came and it was testified that he was the Lord. And then remember there on at his death on the cross, when the earth shook, and what a day when he was hanging there on the cross, and from the noon to three, from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness on the sun refused to shine. It was dark. That old soldier who had been right there as a part of the crucifixion, looking upon Jesus, saw the earth shake, saw all the miraculous things that took place, and was made to say, "Surely this is the Son of God." Something happened there too, didn't it? Listen, this testimony wasn't just a testimony from man, it was a testimony from God. And there were three that are in heaven that bear witness to that. That is the Father. The Father declared it. The Word, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God." When he was asked, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ?" He said this, "I am." That settles it, doesn't it? Somebody said, "Well, you think Jesus really was the Messiah?" Absolutely. The Jews don't believe it, but that doesn't change any fact. That doesn't change a thing. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He said he was. God said he was. The Father said he was. The Son said he was. And the Holy Spirit declared him to be so. And he speaks that in your heart. There are three that bear record in heaven. And then there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. The three that bear record in heaven, these three are one. I'm thankful that verse is in the Bible. These three that are the one in nature and one in essence, and yet three distinct persons. One God manifest in three persons. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. I believe we see that in his church where we're declaring him, Jesus Christ. I believe we tried to do that this morning through the preaching of the gospel. And you know, the gospel can't be preached but in one way. That's in power and demonstration of the Spirit. So the Spirit in the gospel declares Jesus to be exactly who the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Word and the Holy Spirit declare him to be. And then the ordinance given to the church declare that too. The ordinance of baptism, which pictures his death and his burial and his resurrection. It declares him to be the Son of God. And then as we meet this afternoon in the communion service, we'll again remember his what? His body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. And what do we do it for? In remembrance of him. And to show forth his death till he come. And that also declares that testimony. And that truth that's shown in baptism, that truth that's shown in the communion service, that truth that is preached is all in agreement. Because it declares him to be a complete and total Savior. I do appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
42.
God bless you.